All right. Well, good morning, and welcome back to Parkrest, or welcome to Parkrest. For those who are interested, we do have a few, actually, of our Focus Club students with us. They're sitting with me back there. We have a student leadership retreat up at SFU this week, and or weekend, so there, a few of them are here this morning. Today we're going to talk a bit about following God, and actually the question I've been asked probably several dozen times in the last few weeks is, you know, why are you moving? You know, why are you moving to Australia? Why are you doing that? And at the end of the day, I just have to simply say, kind of like we were just saying, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, even if it means going to Australia, which isn't too tough, but it is a move. But just as we were singing, I thought I'd read a psalm before I get into our passage. In Psalm 23, and I just thought that this would be a good way to start. And it just says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And you know, this is a well-loved psalm, and for good reason, because David wrote it, and he knew it's true. And you know, for millennium, Christians have read this and gone, "Yeah, God's my shepherd, and He leads me in this life." And you know, that's one of the things that I think is great about being a Christian, is that God does lead us, and He is with us. And as it talks through the psalm, you know, He leads us to good places. And even when trials come through life, God is there and He will lead us through them. We don't have to ask, well, where was God? He says, "I'm there," when you go through the trials. And ultimately, He leads us to be with Him forever in His house. And that's where, you know, that's where we are going as Christians. We are, and so it's so good to know that Jesus is with us. And so, yeah, we got it up here. Today we're talking about following Jesus, and kind of as a caveat or just kind of as a reference point, in many ways this sermon should resonate with you as a Christian. If you are a Christian, there should be some aspects that you go, "Yeah, something like that has been true in my life, where God has led me in my life. I've heard God kind of lead me, or Scripture has spoken to me." And I put that verse there from John 10:27, where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And I just love that, because it's this promise that Jesus gives that, you know, for us to be able to hear His voice means that He's saying, "I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to be speaking to me, and you can follow me, and I'm going to lead you," like that psalm said. And so we're looking about following Jesus. One of the ways sometimes this is viewed or talked about in Christian circles is kind of, well, what's God's will for my life? What does God desire for me to do in my life? You know, I think Jesus is the perfect example there. You know, in John chapter 5, when Jesus' authority was being questioned and people were saying, you know, "Why are you doing what you do?" Jesus said in John 5:19, "The Son," speaking of Himself, "can do nothing by Himself, only what He sees the Father doing." And so Jesus, He would not say, "No, I do what God shows me to do." And as Christians, God has shown us how we are to live. In very broad strokes, we know what God wants of us. First of all, God wants us. He wants a relationship with us. I've read and I've said that the first calling of a Christian is to Jesus Himself. The first place He calls you to in His life is to come to Him. Jesus says, you know, "Come to me, all who are weary and heaven laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Jesus wants us to come into a relationship with Him first and foremost. And then out of that relationship, we then join in with God in His mission in this world. You see, God's will has been clearly revealed. You know, we sometimes talk of God's will as if it's a mystery. But, you know, in the Bible, God makes His will clear. He wants people to come to know Him and into a relationship with Him, to live righteous lives and in obedience to Him. God has made His will clear to us as Christians. And we are to live in it. And it's something that has been shown to us. You know, God is a good Father. And one of the things that, you know, as I kind of reflected a bit on this sermon is just knowing that, you know, God not only wants us to know Him, but then He wants us to know how to live. And He doesn't try to hide with it. He doesn't play games with us. One of the books I was reading, it said, it's silly that sometimes we think that God, who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for us, will then turn around and kind of play cat and mouse with us the rest of our life, not trying to guide us and lead us. No, He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. And so, as I said, the question I've heard again and again is, you know, why are you moving to Australia? You know, what led you down the road to that? Now, of course, probably step one was marrying an Australian. That definitely has a part to it. But it's been over the past couple of years that God has really been kind of leading us in here. And if you just jump to the next slide, Fraser back there, a couple of verses that kind of give some framework. The first is from Exodus chapter 3. And it's the story of Moses and the burning bush. We know that story. God was going to do something. He was going to call Moses. And it says, when the Lord saw, and so God appeared in the burning bush, and it says, when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God spoke to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And, you know, a few years ago, I was reading through Exodus and actually doing a study in the life of Moses, and this verse just jumped down at me, because it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, then he spoke. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, then God spoke. And I'll get into that. The second scripture is this. It's well known. It's from the road to Emmaus, where Jesus has come back alive, and he starts walking along two of his disciples who were sad because they thought that was the end. And of course, Jesus speaks to them and opens up the scriptures and explains to them why the Messiah had to die. And then he eats with them, and then he disappears from their sight. And the two disciples said this. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures? And so you see there's a connection between these two verses. I call it burning bushes and burning hearts. And I think that's a bit of how God leads us and speaks to us in our lives today. It's through burning bushes and burning hearts. What's a burning bush? I say it's this. It's something that draws our attention. I'd say it's this. It's more specific. It's something God's doing, and our attention is drawn to it. You see, God is at work around this world. And as Christians, we are to be mindful of what God is doing. And so, as I said, in my life, I kind of called Australia. I remember sitting down with my boss and saying, you know, I got this burning bush in my life, you know, Australia. It's something that just has caught my attention. I'm looking into it. And what happened is then my wife and I said, you know, I spoke to her. I said, you know, Australia, just it seems to be on my mind. And so we spoke and we started, well, let's pray about it and read about it. And every time we kind of committed ourselves a bit to thinking about moving, something within us burned, a bit of a burning heart. You know, whether we'd pray about it and we'd feel peace or confidence or, you know, different circumstances. We don't have time to go into them all, but it just seemed that every time we looked into moving, God would seem to speak to us. Kind of like what happens there with Moses, where it says, You know, God could have just called Moses, you know, just Moses walking along, and he could have just started yelling at him. But there's this verse where it says, when Moses turned aside, then God spoke. And for us, it seemed that every time we kind of turned aside and started looking into a situation or into our move, God seemed to speak to us. And as it says there, the burning heart, it often happened through Scripture. You know, that's the primary way God has chosen to speak to us today is through the Bible. That's how God speaks to us. And I'll get into some of the details a bit later today. But whenever we turned aside, it seemed God would speak to us out of it and through Scripture. You see, as I said, Scripture is one of the primary ways that I believe that God speaks to us today. You know, God wants to guide us. We're His children. He wants to lead us. As we read there in Psalm 23, you know, He's the one who's leading us through this life to good places and also through the hard times. God is the one who's leading us. A bit of a promotion. I recommend this book, and if you jump to the next slide, it's called Finding the Will of God. He studies out at Regent, or not studies, he teaches or taught on Regent. His name is Brute Waltke. It's called Finding the Will of God, and in it he talks about the fact that, in his view, many Christians take a rather weird, unbiblical way of determining God's will, leaving it up to chance or maybe some wondrous sign. But he says, in this book, at the beginning, he says, the New Testament offers us a program of the Father's guidance that is based upon having a close relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You know, and again, here's where I'm talking that as I talk about, you know, maybe Scripture speaking to us and things, this is something that he says here is something that happens when we come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ or with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, that we have this spiritual life. And we're able to have communion with God, and He speaks to us in our lives. And so when He refers to a program, it's not like it's a A, B, C, D, E, F, G list of, okay, you do these things and you'll know what God's want. But He's saying, look, there's an order of things. He writes and believes that based on what Scripture kind of gives as an example, that as you do this in your life, you can be relatively sure that you will find God's leading in your life. He says, and I agree with this, that the order of this list is very important. In fact, essential. And that's why you notice that the number one thing is read your Bible. A couple weeks ago, we had day camp here with all those little kids and a whole bunch more. And on the last day, we said, you know, what you have to do is go home and read your Bible. It's something that we teach our kids, but sometimes we might neglect ourselves. But we read the Bible to get to know the mind of God. We have to be able to read the Bible openly, meaning that we read it, I'd say, openly and prayerfully. We need to come to the Scripture saying that this is God's Word speaking to us and be open to hearing about it. James says, you know, we don't want to be like that person who looks in a mirror and then goes away and doesn't do anything, right? And that's the foolish person. We're to go, and the Bible is like a mirror to us, but then we obey it. We act in accordance to what it shows us. And so reading Scripture, we see we can get to know the heart of God through that. And as we get to know the heart of God, we developed it for ourselves. We develop that heart of God, heart for God, wanting to please Him above all other things. You know, oftentimes, I've heard growing up, you know, where they say, they look at where Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. And it's this view as if they're almost my will and God's will are always going to be opposed to each other. But that's not true. As the Holy Spirit comes in and starts to transform us, He makes our heart more and more and our will more and more conformed to the will of the Father. And so as we go in our lives and we read Scripture, and I want to say this, that God will never ask you or instruct you to do something that is against what the Bible says. That's our kind of our baseline. That's our authority there. But so we go along. We get to know God's mind. He speaks through His Word. In the book of Hebrews, it says that the Word of God is living and active. God's Word is alive and active. And as I'm going to share in a few minutes, it's part of the way God can speak into direct situations in our lives through His Word. We develop a heart of God of wanting to do God's will in our life, wanting to see, you know, I love the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I remember hearing one year at camp years and years ago, someone said, "Well, when you pray that God's will be done on earth, the first place you can start allowing it to happen is in your own life. Say, God, may your will be done in my life." In Psalm 37:4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Meaning, as your heart is delighting in God, I kind of view it as a two-way street there. One, the desires you have will all of a sudden be coming from God, and then he'll be happy to give you those desires because you are delighting in him. And so as you read your Bible, you develop this heart for God. Next is seek wise counsel. Christianity is not something that's meant for us to do alone. It's not just about me and God, and that's it, I'm good. All throughout Scripture, it's about being, Israel is a nation, and then the New Testament, it says the church, the assembly, coming together. And we are to support each other. And one of the interesting things is, as I found, as my wife and I started saying, well, you know, we started believing, and I would say my number one wise counsel was talking to my wife. And for newly meds, there's a piece of counsel for you, some wise counsel for you. You know, as we started talking about it, we said, well, yeah, we're in agreement about this. And we began talking to other people. And it was interesting. Some of the people I spoke to had a very vested interest in me staying in Canada. And yet, as godly people, and they said, well, we'll pray about it. And they would say, yeah, we do feel this is something that God might be leading you in. And so I encourage you in any major decision to seek God's, not only firstly seek the Lord, but then also seek wise counsel from other people. It then goes on to talk about look for God's providence in the situation. Look for God's providence. Providence simply meaning, you know, ways that God blesses, or oftentimes we say opens doors. And I know in our journey it's been amazing that every time we've kind of taken a step, it seems a door has opened for us to move through. God's hand has been with us. And as we walk with the Lord, I do believe that he opens doors and directs us and shows us his favor. And then says, here it says, does this make sense or sound judgment? And in the book, you know, someone probably has already thought of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's, you know, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. And I always say it's very important to remember verse 6. Because then it says, in all your ways, commit your plans to the Lord. And when it says, trust in the Lord, don't lean on your own understanding, I really believe that means don't lean wholly on your own understanding. You're first trusting the Lord. And not fully, but you're committing, and then as God reveals, then you can move forward. And this all happens in that framework of, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, as I seek to please God, is this something that will please God? Are other Christians in agreement? You know, am I missing something? Does God seem to be at work in this situation, providing providence, leading me? You know, perhaps opportunities came up. You know, does God seem to have his hand in it there? And does it make sense? In the book, it tells this funny story of a student who walked into his office, and he had a choice to make. And he sat there for hours and prayed. And then at the end, he said, well, you know, what do you think makes sense? And the student says, what do I think makes sense? Well, it's not about what I think makes sense. You know, it's only God. And he says, well, no, we've laid down a framework, and we can see that God, you know, there's some room to play here. In fact, just last week, I had a Skype call from a student in Japan. And she'd been confused. She's a Christian. She'd become a Christian here. She'd moved back. And she was confused because one of her friends in Japan had also become a Christian or was also a Christian. And this friend, had an opportunity, a decision to make, but was unwilling to make the decision. And she said, well, I'll wait to see what God does. And my friend was very confused because she said, well, it seems to me, you know, she prayed about it and the opportunity's there. And yet she's not making a decision. Why not? She just says she has to wait on God. And I said, well, I don't know her situation, but I said, I do know this, that when we've done these things, when we've seen that this is something that's what God would want, and we've prayed about it, we've sought wise counsel, we are able to make decisions based on what God has shown us and move forward. And the final thing he talks about is divine intervention. You know, sometimes God, we still do believe in a God of miracles, a God who is able to enter in and guide us in ways that are none other than miraculous. And as Christians, we need to believe this, that God can show us things to do in miraculous ways. And so what about our story? As I said, the question a lot of people have asked is, you know, why are you moving to Australia? As I said, a couple of years ago, we started looking into this as a couple. We started sensing God leading us. Part of what kind of got the conversation kick-started was we went to Australia and Rebecca's and Isaiah's passports were stolen. So we got stuck in Australia. And so I wanted nothing more than to get out of Australia, to be honest. But while there, we decided, hey, you know, like, what about this place? You know, could we ever be here? And I remember walking around, and kind of the first piece was I spent a day actually in prayer. I just kind of took off. And the verses I read, I realized again and again this phrase of God says, I am the Lord of all the earth. I am the Lord of all the earth. And it actually took a lot of pressure off because I realized whether I'm here, there, wherever, God is at work all around this world. And sometimes we get too fixated on a dot, you know, is it here or there or there? And he's just saying, I'm the Lord of all the earth. And that was very comforting and very providential because that came up later on. But as we went on, we began, as I said, praying and talking about this idea. And every time we prayed and talked about it, or oftentimes Scripture would kind of speak to us, as I said, the burning heart, you know, we would just sense God leading us here. And about 2 years ago, I went off to a conference down in Indonesia. And we decided that while I was away, we would kind of bring this question out. You know, really seek God's direction in it of, you know, should we move to Australia? Is that where God is calling us to? And I went down to Australia, or not to Australia, it's Indonesia at this conference with this question. And partway through the conference, it was for younger leaders, and they gave us a day of reflection or rest, reflection, and then prayer. And they gave us some scripture. And what came up, just go to the next slide, was Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua 3, it's better for me to read up here than in my notes when it pops up. It says, Joshua 3 is the people entering the promised land. It said, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Goes on to say, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you. And I remember reading it and just coming across this Lord of all the earth. And it really struck me, and I read over the passage and just this idea that it was a passage about moving on, following the Lord, crossing over the Jordan. Now, at that conference, there's about 1,000 people, over 1,000 people. And I can guarantee you that God was not speaking to all 1,000 of us to move on. But what struck me about this is that God had spoken to me very clearly from the book of Joshua before. When I lived in Panama for 2 years and I similarly had an opportunity to stay down there, living down there, and I was going, does God want me to come back to Canada or stay down in Panama? It was Joshua chapter 22, where God had was given a command to the people, or Joshua spoke to the people and said, you know, return to your homeland, cross back over the Jordan, return to your homeland, and serve the Lord there. And so for me, as I read this, I saw this, you know, again, the speaking of God through Scripture, coming alive to me and speaking just that, you know, Steve, I've used this. It's almost like he knew I needed it to be almost the same verses, you know. He knows me. And so, actually, go to the next slide. I emailed Rebecca that night. I realized, you know, we prayed about it. And actually, that night, we had a time of prayer. And I asked some people to pray for me. And again, that kind of seeking wise counsel. And they were in agreement with this. And I wrote, this is kind of the excerpt of the email. I said, last night we were given a passage of Joshua 3-5. I cut out a lot of other stuff, just, you know, it's a personal email. But this is the relevant parts, right? I miss you, baby, etc. No. The passage is about Israel crossing over the Jordan. It struck me, and as I said, you know, when I read it, it just really spoke to me as if God himself was speaking through Scripture directly to me. And when I returned, you know, and I go on to say, you know, just reminded her that when I returned to it from Panama, the confirmation came when I read Joshua 22:1-6. I really felt that this was an assurance that we can move out and so-called cross over the Jordan. And part of what, as I mentioned to you, part of what spoke was the part of Lord of all the earth. And so that was about 2 years ago. About 2 years ago, and we really felt from then, we came home, we prayed about some more, and that's when we kind of started following this pattern. You know, we'd always said we'd only move to Australia if we felt God was leading us. But then we started saying, okay, we sought some wise counsel. You know, I talked to my parents, some close friends, some colleagues of mine, and they were in agreement, as I said, even though, especially actually my boss, I said I need to talk to you. And I said, you know, I really feel God's calling us to Australia. And he says, oh, so I should have spoken first to you, because he says, I wanted to talk to you because I wanted you to replace me. But he says, you know, I'll pray about this. So he had a very vested interest in me staying. But he said, no, I really feel this is where God's calling you. So, you know, I'll bless you in that. And then we began to kind of look for providence. You know, we thought, well, God, if you're leading us, what are you calling us down there to do? Actually, it's interesting, around this time, even actually at that conference, I was offered someone asked me to go move to New Zealand, actually. He says, oh, Australia, New Zealand, we're right neighbors. And he said, you know, I want you to come. And we said, no, you know, we don't feel that's where it is. The next time we went to visit Rebecca's family in Australia, I visited a couple of ministries. And again, it just didn't seem right. So we were just trusting God. What do you have in store for us? And then around the turn of the year, I would say this. Somehow, I'm still not sure how I stumbled across it. I came across this part-time position at a church to help in evangelism and outreach with their young adults. And I thought, well, I work with young adults, international students. Hey, there's no way they're even going to consider me because, you know, part of my covering letter is I don't live in Australia and I don't have a visa yet. So, you know, and my interview was, well, we're having a baby next year, so we're not moving down for like at least 9 months or something. In fact, it'll be a year since we had the interview. But you know, they felt that, you know, this was God's leading. And so we saw God's hand at work every step along the way. And so, you know, at some point you have to take a step of faith. And I still remember there sitting with Rebecca and eventually saying, okay, you know, visa application, do we put it in? And doing it and just having this sense of peace that we weren't doing our own thing, but that we were simply following God and what he's called us to do. For those curious, maybe just pop up the next slide, a bit of what we'll be doing in Australia. Actually, part of the providence is that I will continue working with International Student Ministries Canada. So part of what that meant actually is before I would even bought tickets down, I already had dates that I was coming back to Canada for some meetings. But I'll continue ministering to international students locally. There's some opportunity to start new work on some, in fact, you know, gain some of the providence. There's a university a few blocks from the church that we'll be meeting with. And at that church, when I talked to some campus workers in South Australia, they have very little international student ministry going on there. And so we can see that God has that door for us to go in, and we look to start or really kickstart that ministry on campus. Part of also what I'll be doing, working, is Australia is a little closer to Asia than Canada. And one of the things we do in our ministry is we work a lot with students as they return to their homelands. And I hope to do a bit of that. We're also serving a bit with the Lausanne group there. That's the conference I was at. It's kind of a global fellowship of evangelical leaders. And I've been asked to kind of step up and be a part of that. Of just and of course, it kind of fits under this theme of the Lord of all the earth. And so, although I'm moving down there to be a part of what God is doing worldwide. And the final part, as I said, which was kind of that providential part that almost got us moving in the direction, was to be working with, it's called Marian Church of Christ. And the title is Growth Pastor Young Adults, essentially looking to help their young adults reach out into the neighborhood around them. And so, you know, we've seen that God has kind of led us down here, and you know, we're still around for another few months here, and looking forward to also visiting and probably Skyping and whatnot. But for us, even last week, I remember we were sitting there looking at each other and saying, "What are we doing? Why are we moving? Like, what's all this going on?" And yet, at the core, you know, it's a lot of work, right? You know, you gotta sell up everything and move, and it's expensive and it's stressful, and you're thinking, what am I doing to my son because he has his friends here? And yet at the core of it, we said, you know, well, because we'd seen God's hand at work, you know, we just have this peace about, yeah, we can move forward, and God is leading us down there, you know. And so we're, in that sense, we're excited. And part of what I look at, you know, in my own life, like, or not in my own life, but, you know, when I look at someone like Paul, you know, and how God led him, you know, first of all, what did Jesus do? He called Paul to himself, right? He says, "No, I'm Jesus," you know, and then he gave him a mission. He had this mission to preach the gospel. We know that Paul said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." And so Paul had a primary call to Jesus, and then kind of a general call to preach the gospel. And even in there, he said, you know, I make it my ambition to preach where no other foundation has been laid. And so he had this kind of general or kind of more specific to be someone who's expanding the gospel. And at times in Paul's life too, like the time he had the vision of the man from Macedonia, God called him to specific places. And a bit of that is how we see God leading us in our lives. You know, God has called us to service, particularly among international students. And we see that as something that God has called us to do at this time of our life. And at this moment, we just see that God's leading us down south. Everything's going south, so to speak, but down under. And so it's been encouraging to know that God leads us in our lives. You know, as I think about this, I think about, well, what about, you know, what about my day-to-day? What about your day-to-day? You see, God doesn't just lead us in these big decisions, but God leads us day by day by day. And so how are we following God, and how am I following God day by day in my life? You know, what's going on in my life? One of the things that, as I said, we're doing this student leadership retreat. And one of our staff yesterday said to the students, he says, "Do you know that God has put you in your classroom?" You know, like, where you are right now, that's where God has put you. And think, how can I be of service to God where I am today in my life. You see, because sometimes God leads us and calls us to different places, and sometimes God leads us and calls us to remain where we are and to stay where we are. You know, in fact, when we got married, I remember my wife and I, we said, okay, we're getting married. Like, what should we do? We can go anywhere. But we really felt, no, God was calling us to stay here. And so sometimes God's call to go is kind of a call to stay where you are and follow Him and be faithful to Him where you are. And sometimes it's to go. But kind of reflecting back, a few questions that you might want to ask yourself, right? I challenge us to think through, and just I have them on the next slide. A few questions. Going back to that burning bush, the first is there something in my life that has been catching my attention? And how have I brought it before God in prayer? You know, that's how it all kind of started for us. It just kind of, what about this? And then as we brought it to God in prayer, we saw that He was leading us in that direction. You know, it might be a person at your workplace. You know, you just seem to notice, oh yeah, I always seem to be bumping into this guy. Where, you know, God, you know, what is it? You know, do you have something for me here? It might be about the job you're at. You might be going, you know, well, you know, thank you, God, for this job, but why am I here? So there's something in my life that's been catching my attention, and then we bring it before God in prayer. And as we bring it before God in prayer, I believe He speaks to us. Now, as I said, one of the primary ways God speaks to us is through His Word. And so the next thing is, what scriptures have spoken to me recently? You know, that's always a good thing to ask ourselves. You know, as I said, in my journey, or in our journey, one of the things was just this, one of the themes was that God is God of the whole earth. And so what does that mean, that you're God of the whole earth? You know, I didn't go into the details, but, you know, part of our discernment was just thinking of, like, yeah, God has called us to this ministry to all nations, of all, you know, the international student ministry. But that also, where this happens, where we can do it, is not restricted. And so as you spend time in God's Word, you know, is there anything coming up time and time again? Anything speaking to you? As I said, the Word of God is living and active. God speaks to us through it. If there is, pay attention to it. One of the reasons why I wrote that email down, or email to my wife, is because I knew that God had really spoken to me through the, you know, during that time. I also knew that a week later, when I'd flown back home, it might not be so obvious in my mind. I might be like, oh yeah, what was the verse again? And so I encourage, you know, maybe write it down so you can also go back and look, oh, God has been speaking this to me. And then the third thing I'd say is, what time have I set aside to listen to God speak to me, and also for me to speak to God? You know, if we're working on this premise that God speaks to us, are we setting aside time to listen to God? And if we want to know a bit of the mind of God and direction from God, are we spending time speaking to God, asking God to show us these things? And so these are just a few, I think, practical things that we can look to do in our lives. You know, as Christians, again, we are to become like Christ. You know, that's God's will in our lives, is to become like Christ. But again, going back to the beginning, what did Christ say? He said, you know, the Son does nothing except for what He has seen the Father show Him. And I think that would be that's an ambition in our lives. To be about the Father's business, to be saying, yeah, you know, I'm at this job at a sawmill, or I'm a teacher at a school, or I've decided to stay at home as a stay-at-home parent. Why? Because, you know, I believe that that's God's call for this season in my life, this time in my life, that He has work for me to do there. And so we seek God in all we do. And so I just want to close in prayer, and then God bless. So, Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You that You are a God who speaks to us, and we thank You that we're not just walking around this world unsure of what to do. First of all, we're walking around knowing that we are walking with You, and that You have also told us so much of how You want us to live and what You want us to do, Lord. And so may this be true, that we are a people who follow You all the days of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And